call victims of racist police brutality. According to their Facebook page, the group claims there's been no accountability in several police-involved shootings with black people.
18-year-old Paul O'Neill was shot Thursday night after he crashed a stolen vehicle into two squad cars in Chicago. An independent police review authority will determine if any policies or laws were violated in the shooting.
I said from day one, when officers engage in intentional misconduct or inappropriate behavior, they have to be held accountable. But we also have to understand honest mistakes can be made.
This is USA Radio News.
The Storks are bringing me a baby brother. We can do this together.
All right, let's go.
Storks know how to keep kids safe. Do you?
What?
Oh, my gosh, you don't know.
I know.
You don't. Oh, man, you laugh when you're uncomfortable.
No.
Making sure your child is in the right car seat is one of the steps to safer travel.
I will rock this.
You will rock this.
To know for sure that your child is in the right car seat for their age and size, visit safercar.gov/the right seat.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
A flash flood watch is in effect for several northwestern and central New Jersey counties until 11 tonight, Scott Pringle reports.
Places like Princeton and Flemington got more than 7 inches of rain throughout Saturday and Sunday combined, causing lots of street flooding there. Not quite as much rain in North Jersey, but still enough to send water waist high in some areas, trapping vehicles and forcing first responders in Patterson and Wayne to make several water rescues on the roads. Flash flood watch in effect for 7 north and central Jersey counties today. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New Jersey.
Today is the final day of trading in Major League Baseball, and the New York Yankees have been the busiest ball club.
Tough pill to swallow. We lost a true leader, a good friend for me. Somebody that we all kind of lean on. You know, he helped us. Last couple of years, you can say he's been the best relief pitcher in baseball.
The Yankees traded pitcher Andrew Miller, and that was Dellin Betances, upset to see him go. Some Olympians for the upcoming Rio Olympics say the water is so filthy in the area that they may not be able to train, with beer cans, smell, and other debris swimming in the pool. In a good news Olympics story, Alana Nichols is going for her 3rd gold medal, 1 in the regular Olympics and 2 in the Paralympics in 3 different sports. I'm Rod Williams Stoll, USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the local affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Your Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. The weather today for this afternoon will be a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain, be mostly cloudy with a high near 79. East winds around 6 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 50%. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 66. North winds 3 to 5 miles an hour. And again, the chance of precipitation is 50%. So you can flip a coin. You may get it, you may not. Tuesday, a slight chance of showers with thunderstorms, also possible after 1 p.m. It'll be partly cloudy with a high near 80. Northeast winds around 7 miles per hour. And the chance of precipitation is 20%. Tuesday night, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 61. East winds around 5 miles an hour, and it's going to become calm in the evening. Wednesday, mostly sunny. Thursday, mostly sunny. Friday, mostly sunny. So that sounds good. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment.
Be
lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrinos Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Get your body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great. So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome. This is the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. My name's Larry Cartwright. I'm your host, and we're very privileged today to have with us Kathy Snyder, who's a lactation consultant at the Hunterdon Medical Center. Did I say that right?
You did, Larry.
Okay. Sometimes I screw things up. I always ask everybody, whoever I have, whether it's the previous show I do or this one, how did you get into this line of work? Some people will say, oh, I just needed a job, you know, mortgage was due. And others will say, gee, something happened when I was a child, blah, 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 and that's how I got in. And, you know, so I was just curious. I'm always curious how people get into their different lines of work.
I think it's an excellent question. I started off my career as a psychiatric nurse.
Okay.
So very different from the lactation field. And I had a friend who had a breastfeeding problem. And I set about trying to find some assistance for her. And I found an international board-certified lactation consultant who came to her home. And as I was watching this woman work, I thought that was everything that I became a nurse to be. She was advocating for the mother and for the baby. She was educating the mother, and she was working independently. And that really appealed to me. I found out at that time that I needed 5 more years of education to become an international board certified lactation consultant. So I then had 2 thoughts about that. One is I could be old and be a lactation consultant, or I could be old. And I decided to be old and be a lactation consultant. So, yes,
well,
I'm
you're
a
not old.
Here.
You're certainly not old.
So, excellent question, Larry.
So, basically, what is your role or the department's role at the medical center?
Sure. We're a part of the childbirth education team, and I am one of a team of lactation consultants, and we really work with moms from pregnancy on through older babies. So my role is to teach classes. I might meet moms for the first time in a baby care class, a layette class, or a breastfeeding class. And then I see them at the bedside at the maternal newborn care center. And we work with mom and the baby. It might be that the mom has a baby in our sick care nursery because the baby was premature or ill, and so I'll be working with the mom there at the bedside, either pumping or breastfeeding with the baby right there in the NICU. And then I work in our outpatient lactation program as well. So mothers who are already at home with their babies can come back in to see myself or one of the other lactation consultants to continue to work with them. And finally, we have a warm line that we answer at the medical center. So just from beginning to end, we are there for these moms and babies.
How many other consultants are there?
There are 3 other consultants.
3 other besides you. So there's 4 altogether?
Yes.
Okay. How does your position help moms, help to promote moms to use breastfeeding?
Well, you have to have enough information about breastfeeding in order to be able to make a decision to breastfeed. So we do weave information about breastfeeding into all of our prenatal classes.
Okay. That was my next question.
Certainly mothers have gotten a lot of quote-unquote education about breastfeeding through commercials that are thinly veiled marketing efforts for formula companies. I think it's important that mother has some balance and has some accurate information prior to making a decision. We've also educated our OBs and our nurse midwives regarding breastfeeding, and that might be the first place that a discussion about breastfeeding takes place, because the mom has that primary relationship with the physician or nurse midwife that's taking care of her while she's pregnant. And then we also promote breastfeeding through skin-to-skin bonding after the birth. Skin-to-skin is not just for moms who are planning to breastfeed. It's for all moms and babies to get to know their babies. Skin-to-skin bonding really stabilizes babies. It stabilizes their heart rate, their breathing, their blood sugar. And if mom is choosing to breastfeed, it really does increase her milk production.
Right. Things have changed since my last son was born. We have four children, and my youngest is 39. So a lot of things have changed in the last 40 years.
Yeah, I have a 42-year-old.
Yeah.
Yes, certainly have.
My oldest is 46. Yeah, 46. Mm-hmm. And then my oldest son is 46. My next son is 44. My daughter is 42, and my youngest son is 39.
Yes.
So
Back then, hospitals kind of owned the baby, and the baby was only with the parents for part of their hospital stay,
right,
and kept in a hospital nursery away from the parents.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily true now, right?
It's not. The babies are with the parents. We tend to use our nursery more for meetings now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't believe the hospitalization is as long now as it was then either, is it?
No, it's not. Typically 2-3 days for a mom and a baby. So no, it's not. Back then, I think hospitalizations were something like 5 days.
Yeah, 5-6 days, right.
Yeah.
Well, I know that, my youngest son was premature, and so he was intensive care for a while.
Yes.
And it took a longer period of time, but though you can understand in certain circumstances, but you can understand if somebody is like that, it's fine, but
That's one of the really nice things that we do for families of preterm infants at Hunterton Medical Center. Even once the mother is actually discharged, she's been cleared by her obstetrician or her nurse midwife, if her baby is staying in the special care nursery for medical reasons, maybe the baby was born early or is sick, the mother can stay in that hospital room. Basically, they're a boarder there. They're not continuing, we're not providing medical care to that mother while they're there.
Right.
But we're not saying you must go home and be separated from your baby. So that has been something that's allowed as long as we have enough room.
Right.
Because, it could be that a whole bunch of women come in and labor all at once for that mother to stay and be with her baby. And I think that's very important.
It
would be very hard to go home without them.
I volunteer at the medical center one day a week, and I'm by admitting there, that little podium there, and by admitting where people come in the main door. And a lot of times you'll see women being discharged, and the husband bringing all the stuff, and out first, and then and it's just so, it's so wonderful to see, for lack of a better word, you know, the family, you know, sometimes is a little an older child and they have like older sister or older brother t-shirt and they may be three, you know, or something, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it is very, you know, rewarding to see that, you know.
Yeah.
Are you actually in the hospital, or do you have a? Is it separate? Or
yes, our outpatient lactation center is within the hospital, and then of course the lactation consultants are making rounds at the bedside in the hospital.
Okay,
and then there's an education center that's right there on Route 31, and that is where we have our breastfeeding classes and our other prenatal classes.
Are those classes free? Or
no, there is a fee for those classes, right. But I believe charity care can be used towards those classes.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a breastfeeding support group that meets after the baby is born in that same center, and then another group called Baby Steps there in the center. So the moms can, you know, meet their best friends and their neighbors there and learn a little bit more what ongoing care of their baby is like and receive support and information.
How does breastfeeding help protect babies as opposed to over-the-counter items parents can buy?
Yeah. All right. Well, breastfeeding is really a natural process for mammals. And human beings are mammals. And so, ideally, the mother gives birth, and provided that the mother and baby aren't having extenuating medical problems, the infant is placed skin to skin with her. And if left uninterrupted, the baby will nurse within the hour of the birth, most likely.
Okay.
And what he's doing is he's imprinting upon mother's body as his or her natural habitat. So the body grew the baby while mother was pregnant and continues to grow and nourish and keep safe the baby after the birth. It's just simply normal for human beings to receive human milk because it's designed specifically for the baby. So imagine this. A baby calf gives birth. Would we feed them human milk? Of course not, because human milk is designed for humans, and cow's milk is designed for cows. So we have to consider what the human need is, and certainly formula is a food that can be utilized, but it's not the norm for human beings.
If you look back 100 years, 150 years ago, there wasn't anything.
That's right.
But breastfeeding. I mean, you know,
that's right.
You take a woman out and, or an, even a Native American woman or whatever, out in the Midwest someplace, you know, there wasn't any massive hospital she could go to or anything like that. So it was just normal. That's what, you know, mothers did back then.
That's correct.
And I don't understand why it deviated from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for, you know, parents or, you know, mothers to, you know, go to the store and buy, you know, whatever, you know, canned milk or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And get away from the naturalization that was for hundreds of years.
Yes.
Or thousands of years.
Yes, yes. I mean, certainly we don't read in the history books about all the human beings that died of the low milk supply.
Right.
Yet, if you watch a television commercial, it implies to the woman that it's likely that she will have low milk supply. You know, we certainly don't worry again to look at mammals if the baby squirrel is born that the mother will have milk for it or the baby deer. It's the same with human beings. we have to remember why formula was invented. It certainly wasn't invented to save all the human beings that were dying of insufficient milk. It was invented because it was the World War. It was the Industrial Revolution. Men were off at war, and they needed somebody to work in the factories. Women back then, because we had been, prior to that, primarily a farming culture, women were having a baby almost every year. And those women said, well, no, we can't work in the factories. We're breastfeeding. So the solution was formula.
Okay.
Okay. That's so interesting. It was to make women go to work, and it'll still make you go to work these days because it costs quite a lot to feed with formula, you know, for throughout the first year of a baby's life.
Right.
There are, however, some circumstances these days that are different. Certainly, we can take hormones and make a woman conceive a baby and carry that baby artificially and give birth perhaps very prematurely. And so is that a woman who 100 years ago would have had a baby that would have survived? No. And so she might be challenged hormonally to be able to effectively feed her baby. Those babies, you had a preterm baby, but, you know, these days, you know, you can get a 1 pound, 3 ounce baby, you know, to survive. And, you know, that's a difficult situation for mom to pump for many, many months before the baby even meets the breast.
Real quick question that just flashed into my head. How long is a normal period for breastfeeding?
Well, I can tell you that the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that babies be exclusively breastfed for the approximately the first 6 months of life, meaning that the baby is, as long as there's no medical circumstances, is not receiving formula, is not receiving water, any other foods. And then around 6 months of age, when baby is showing readiness, we would be starting solid foods, and mother would continue to breastfeed along with that. It's recommended that the mother do that for a year and beyond, is in the American Academy of Pediatrics statement. Okay. The World Health Organization said it's the lucky child that gets to breastfeed in their second year of life. And of course, if you think about an older child breastfeeding, they might be nursing before they go to bed at night, or perhaps when mom picks them up from daycare at the end of the day. As a society, we tend to worry about when the baby's going to wean, as if we have to do something to the child to make them wean. And the fact of the matter is, do we worry about babies no longer riding in a stroller? You know, one day the baby's going to get up and say, no, I'm a big boy, I'm going to walk. You know, we don't worry about the child weaning from a crib. Eventually, you know, they will throw themselves over the rail, and it's time for, you know, the big girl bed for them. So, you know, kids grow up. They have a way of doing that no matter what. You and I both know that, Larry.
Oh, yes.
And it happens real fast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Is breast milk easier for babies to digest?
Absolutely. It's less likely for a baby to get reflux, or what they used to call colic, when they're breastfeeding, because that breast milk is so digestible. They have teeny tiny tummies, babies, when they're first born. It's about the size of a marble. So consider this. It's baby's job to double their birth weight by the time they're 6 months old. So that with that marble-sized tummy, what the baby does in the beginning is breastfeed really frequently so they can keep refilling that tummy and digesting. So frequent breastfeeding is very common in the beginning while the infant themselves is establishing mom's milk supply.
It's very interesting. How is that or is breastfeeding beneficial to the mother?
Well, there's actually a couple ways to look at it. We could say for the mother who doesn't breastfeed her infant, she increases her own risk for diabetes, for osteoporosis, for breast and ovarian and uterine cancers, hypertension, postpartum depression, and obesity. You see, breastfeeding isn't really a benefit. And I know I'm here to talk about the benefits. It's just plain normal.
Well,
so you're saying it's a benefit as compared to formula.
Well, yeah, yes. You're saying that, right? Mm-hmm. But say, for whatever reason, a mother doesn't want to breastfeed. Mm-hmm. Do they pump the milk out themselves then, or how does that work?
You mean if the mother wants to pump and bottle feed the baby?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they could do that.
I mean, isn't that pretty similar to breastfeeding?
It's very similar.
Same milk. I mean, it's just, you know.
That is very similar. If the mother is artificially feeding the baby, though, therefore there's more risks.
Artificially meaning?
Formula feeding the baby.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But certainly we support mothers who make that choice. We want to help them to formula feed their baby in amounts that would be biologically normal for the infant. We teach them to hold the baby close, to pace the feeding so that they're not guzzling the bottle really quickly. So we're promoting the bonding of that mother with that infant and proper feeding methods for formula feeding if a mother chooses to do that. But the breastfeeding mom, she is burning up to 750 calories by merely sitting on her sofa, cuddling with her baby and breastfeeding. Or you could get on a treadmill for an hour every day. Yeah, I'm kind of lazy. I'd rather sit on the sofa.
But would a mother pump the milk to a bottle, mm-hmm. and if she had to go back to work,
yes,
have someone feed the milk to
absolutely.
The baby that way?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's something we can support her in, too. I think it's really a challenge that we have more so in the American culture that most women are returning back to work at 12 weeks, sometimes even as early as 4 weeks after they've given birth. That's a challenge. You know, it's very hard.
Sometimes they can't help it, but they have to.
They have to. Financially,
they
have no choice.
Yes.
Whereas if, you know, they lived in some other cultures, you know, that have socialized medicine,
right.
the country actually pays to keep that mother home because they know that, you know, breastfeeding will ultimately help with the health of the child
right.
and the mother throughout
sure.
their lifetime. Yeah, it is a challenge. And so we do provide a lot of support for that. We do a working and nursing class for the mom before she returns back to work. She can bring her pump in. We vacuum test her pump and make sure it's working properly. Uh-huh. We make sure she's using it properly. We teach her how to manage the bottles with the baby when she's separated, and even, you know, helping her with some of the emotional aspects of being separated with her baby when she returns back to work.
Right, right. And in this day and age, in this economic situation, returning back to work, like you said, is sometimes not an option.
It's not an option.
You know, it's like, yes, I have to, and, you know, and, you know, many companies give a certain amount of time for, you know, having a child.
Yes.
But some of them are not always 12 weeks or whatever. I mean, you know, so.
Yes.
It's just, you know, unfortunate, but that's the way it is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there some tips you can give to moms to get off to a good start breastfeeding their child?
Sure, sure. I'd suggest that a mom take a breastfeeding class so that she has more information. I would suggest that once her baby's born, that she spend a lot, as much time as possible skin to skin with her baby. That allows her to really get to know her baby and establish a relationship and a bond with that baby. We were blessed to have Dr. Nils Bergman, who's from Cape Town, South Africa, come to Hunterton Medical Center a few years ago. If you watch YouTube videos, just put in Dr. Nils Bergman and watch some of his videos on skin-to-skin and infant bonding. I think you'll find it very rewarding.
Let me interrupt one second. When you're saying skin-to-skin, you're talking about the baby breastfeeding. Is that not correct?
Well, actually, baby is just laying skin-to-skin on the mother.
Okay.
And also seeing a lactation consultant to check on latch and positioning and kind of individualizing teaching for that mother and baby as a unique breastfeeding couple. Of course, we involve the family and the dad
sure.
and all of that. I would suggest she feed baby when baby shows hunger cues rather than waiting until the clock says a certain time. She's not feeding a clock. She's feeding a human being. You and I don't eat exactly the same number of hours apart. Imagine if I showed up in the kitchen after dinner for a snack and somebody said to me, "Did you have low dinner supply?" And what if somebody said to me, "Sorry, it's not time yet, but I really want the chocolate chip
yeah.
mint ice cream," you know, and certainly people don't put me on Ensure claiming eating is unsafe for me.
Right.
Yet we kind of do that with infants. And I would suggest that they participate in outpatient lactation services. One of the things that the Affordable Care Act has done for mothers, and I'm not only referring to government insurance. I'm referring to private insurers.
Okay.
So what we have referred to as Obamacare, in 2013, they required all private insurers to provide a mechanism for mother to be able to get a breast pump through her insurance and also be able to have lactation visits through her insurance. Generally, most New Jersey insurers are providing anywhere from 2 to 6 lactation visits for moms after the birth. We go to well pediatrician visits. Why not, especially for a first baby, go to a well lactation visit?
Sure.
And we can actually weigh baby on a special scale before and after breastfeeding and tell mother down to the milliliter how much milk that baby took at that feeding.
Wow.
Yeah.
With that, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to the Hunterton Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have Kathy Snyder, who's a lactation consultant with the Hunterton Medical Center, and we will be back in just a couple moments.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Breakwood Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in the 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is the reactions in their own words.
One of the things you liked about Joe is that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience.
Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Huntington on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Huntington County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Huntington County, New Jersey. The Huntington County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Huntington County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Huntington Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce.
Good morning, Huntington. This is Big C coming to you from HuntingtonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Huntington kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through vitamin C, wake-up call, and chamber chat. I also have many guests focusing on Huntington County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Huntington, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Hunter Medical Center's Hour, compliments on the Hunter County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have with us today Kathy Snyder, who's a lactation consultant at the Hunter Medical Center. And we've been talking about breastfeeding for new moms, and we've been talking about why it's beneficial to mom and why it's beneficial to the new baby. And I guess one of the questions I have, I guess, is how do we know that the baby's getting enough food?
Yeah, that's something that I find most moms want to know about, and they worry about that. It's our television commercial culture, and after we give birth, we feel so vulnerable. We're now responsible for another human life, and we would never want anything bad to happen to that baby.
Right.
Women do not have ounce markers on their breasts, right? So there are ways that you can tell. So what we do is we're not measuring the input into the baby with ounces. We're measuring the output. So what goes in baby's mouth has to come out the other end. So we're looking at wet diapers and bowel movements. For instance, on the first day of life, because the tummy is so small, if the baby has one wet diaper and one bowel movement, that means that they've had plenty of food go in. Of course, that changes as the baby gets older, and mm-hmm. we give moms charts to follow so that they know what to look for depending on how old their baby is. The other way we tell are weights, and it is normal for babies to lose weight after the birth. If mom had IV fluids in her labor, that birth weight was actually an artificially inflated weight, and once those fluids are out of the baby's body, they weigh less. And so it's normal for them to lose 7 to 10% of their body weight, be back to birth weight at 2 weeks, and then gain 5 to 8 ounces per week after that. We are weighing babies every single day while the mom is in the hospital. So we're reporting to the parents how much the baby weighs at that point and benchmarking that and letting them know what's normal. We have a very good response by the family practice and pediatric doctors in the Hunterdon County community in that they're very good about making an appointment for a weight check within a day or two of discharge from the hospital, and then again frequently depending on how the baby is doing. Moms can also bring the baby back to the hospital, and we can do a weight check in our lactation department. They have to make an appointment first, but we're happy to do that to help them feel more secure. We're also watching for feeding cues with the baby. And so if the baby is pointing to their mouth by putting their hands to the mouth, or rooting, or suddenly waking from a sound sleep, that means I'm hungry, and so the baby should be fed then. And then while the baby's feeding, they tend to put one hand on either side of their dinner plate. In other words, one hand on either side of the breast. And when they're all done, they should have floppy arms. That's a sign that the baby at that particular feeding was full. And then again, we can do that test way in our outpatient department where we're weighing the baby before and after feeding so that, parents can see.
Right. Do you find that you have more people breastfeeding than not breastfeeding? Or is it about half and half? Or?
Yes. I think that more people are initiating breastfeeding. I think it's a common issue throughout this country that women aren't breastfeeding as would be recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Only about 18% of moms are still breastfeeding at 6 months.
Do you find that, how do I say this? If a child is born and the doctors and nurses feel that there's, you know, something serious with the child, and they, you know, do tests or whatever, and they find that the child has got something, does the mother still breastfeed, or...
Well, certainly if there is some medical or genetic problem, I would think that the advantages of breast milk would still be beneficial. There are some special helps that we can give babies who have special needs. You know, I often say to women, we have plans A, B, C, and D, you know, to assist. It may be in some of those situations that the mothers are pumping and bottle feeding. It might be that they're pumping, and in that situation, the baby may be tube fed if there's a serious, you know, medical issue where the baby really can't take anything by mouth. You know, certainly baby's health is the most important thing. You know, again, it's difficult, I think, and challenging for women to pump rather than look down adoringly at the baby at breast. Most women don't fall in love with a breast pump. You know, they fall in love with their baby. So they do need lots of supports under circumstances like that. You know, many lactation consultants have had a lot of experience in working with special needs babies and supporting mothers through that process.
All right, let's reverse it now. Let's say the mother is ill.
Yeah, that happens.
And, I mean, I'm sure it does.
Now
what happens then?
Yeah, because moms could end up who knows, in intensive care after right. they give birth because exactly. they've got a serious medical problem.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly their medical problems take priority over this. I know of situations where dads have hooked up breast pumps and pumped the mom while mom was kind of, you know, semi-conscious, or we're waiting until mom's a little bit better to kind of introduce a breast pump in a circumstance such as that. But let's suppose that mom has been breastfeeding for a while and suddenly she becomes ill. She's running a fever. She's got the flu, say, for instance. That mom should continue to breastfeed. Because what happens is when you're getting an illness, you're actually shedding viral particles before you even know you have that illness. And you're transmitting that illness to other people before you even know you have it. So your baby's already been exposed. And your body is now making antibodies to the illness that you have. And so it's been proven that there's less of a risk of your baby getting that illness if you are continuing to breastfeed.
Okay.
There are certain illnesses, though, that we wouldn't want a mom to breastfeed with, such as HIV.
Right.
And any sort of herpes virus, like if the mother got chickenpox or shingles and the baby was going to come in contact with those lesions, mm-hmm. That would be of concern. We'd probably have her pump her milk and dump, you know, as a recommendation until all those lesions are healed.
Okay.
And then try to, you know, support her if she wishes in getting baby back to breast.
Right, and even if the mother is ill and has to go to, you know, stay in the hospital or whatever, unless it's HIV or whatever you were, you know, some of the things you were saying, she would still then be breastfeeding.
Yes. In okay. fact, one of the things that we also do at Hunterdon Medical Center that I'm so proud of is that if mother has a caregiver, you know, such as her spouse,
mm-hmm.
that can help out with the baby, and let's suppose she's hospitalized for her gallbladder surgery after the baby is born, that baby may be right there in the room with her.
Huh.
And there's been good research that's been done on medications, even general anesthesia. And as soon as a mom is alert enough that she can hold her baby, she may breastfeed her baby. And there are thousands of medications that a mother can't take while pregnant, but there's only 11 while breastfeeding. And so odds are that mom can be placed on medications that are going to still meet her needs, but that are considered within a safe lactation category for her to continue breastfeeding.
What would one or two of the medications be that they couldn't?
Well, I don't like to do that because the problem is there, you know, if we give out the list.
No, I didn't say give out the list. Yeah. I was just curious.
Yeah, there might be others. But probably, you know, they would be medications where mother might have a cancer diagnosis.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you had said before that usually it's 6 months for breastfeeding, or it could be, mm-hmm. you know, could be a year.
Sure.
Or longer.
Sure, sure. But with complementary foods then after
right,
6 months.
Right,
yeah.
Because they're, mm-hmm. then they're eating solid food or
yes.
whatever after
yes.
a period of time, correct? Do you find it... What's my word? I'll use unreasonable. For moms who don't want to breastfeed?
You know, I think that everyone has a right to their own choices.
Choices, right.
I've often said to women, you know, I don't live in your body, and I don't take care of your baby at 3 a.m. You do, you know. So you've got to make the choices that are most comfortable to you And then it's my job to support you in your choices.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, how do you support someone who's not breastfeeding? Or doesn't want to breastfeed?
Yeah. By giving them good information about how to properly formula feed the baby. For instance, bottle manufacturers love to sell different bottle nipples at different ages for
right.
babies.
Okay.
Now, women who are breastfeeding don't grow more and bigger holes in their nipples just because their baby has gotten older. And so, for the formula feeding mom, what that would do is if she switched to a faster flow nipple, it would force more milk in than the baby should biologically be receiving at that point.
Okay.
And so to support her in continuing to use a slow flow nipple, certainly if a newborn can remove milk with a slow flow nipple, a one-year-old could do the
right,
same.
Right.
You know,
right.
To help her to give amounts that make more sense because that stomach is so small at birth, to support her in really bonding and holding that baby while the baby is, you know, always looking into her eyes or dad's eyes while giving a bottle, and giving out accurate information about how to safely prepare formula so that, you know, it's less likely that the baby could get ill
mm-hmm.
from, you know,
right.
Bottle nipples that aren't prepared properly, et cetera, you know.
Right. Folks out there listening, enjoy the moments because they do fly by.
They do.
You know?
They do.
I blinked and my kids are all grown. Yeah.
Yes.
But,
yes.
So, yeah, you know, enjoy it. When a mother comes in, let's say a pregnant woman comes in, and when do they start getting to classes and stuff like that? Is it like after birth or just prior to birth?
No, actually, during the pregnancy, they may be about 6 months pregnant
okay.
when they start taking some classes. I find a first class for moms is often a layette class, which is a class on what to buy and not to buy when you're having a baby. It's not the big box retailer saying that you have to buy the whole store. You know,
mm-hmm.
these are really educated information on, you know, what to buy to bathe the baby, what to buy to diaper the baby, what to buy, you know, for feeding
right.
for the baby, and being prepared in that. And they're often so excited when they come into that first class and so proud to join the mom club. And dads come into that class, too. And then I find that there's often a basic baby care class that they take called Hi New Baby. They get to handle baby dolls and hold them as if they were holding their own babies. And the baby gets passed back and forth between mom and dad throughout the class. They can pretend to do a sponge bath and a diaper
mm-hmm.
change
right.
and swaddle their babies, during that time. And, then finally a breastfeeding class. And, of course, although this isn't my field of specialty, we have prepared childbirth classes such as Lamaze, such as hypnobirthing
right.
For moms and dads to go to learn about the childbirth process.
It's interesting. It's just, you know, it's so different from years ago, you know, this whole procedure and everything. And,
yes.
It's... Believe me, I feel it's well worthwhile. I mean, obviously, because years ago it was just, you know, it's just so, like I said, so different. People
yeah.
would be called in, and like I said, three of my children were, you know, we lived too far away from the hospital, so they wanted us to come in, you know, and, you know, so it's just, unless it's a real serious situation. I don't. You said they don't do that anymore.
These days, there would have to be medical justification to induce labor in a mother. It would not be for the convenience of anyone.
Right. You know? Okay. We've got about a minute and a half. If someone wanted to learn more about your classes or breastfeeding or what to do, what not to do, or how would they go about that? How would they have these, you know?
Sure. Well, they if someone had a breastfeeding question, they could call our warm line. That number is 908-788-6335. And then if they wanted information about taking breastfeeding or any classes, really, childbirth, breastfeeding, Layette, Hi New Baby, they can call our childbirth education director at 908-788-MOMS. It's easy to remember.
That one's easy to remember.
M-O-M-S.
Yeah. And why don't you give the first number again?
It's 908-788-6335.
Kathy, I can't thank you enough for being on. To me, it's been very interesting.
Thank you, Larry.
You know, I find that, you know, it just amazes me, again, how far things have come over the course of time, you know, with childbirth and everything. And it's just, you know, just amazing. And from the time of what used to be a person in the hospital, a mother in the hospital, as to now. And, you know, and I think it's great. I think that a lot of information that you've given today is, you know, well worthwhile. And you might want to give that number again in our last 30 seconds or so.
Certainly. And I hope these moms and dads are empowered. It is 908-788-6335 for breastfeeding questions and 908-788-MOMS for classes.
All right. Kathy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
We'll be here again next week and same time, same station. And stay healthy, folks.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the local affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Your Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
College education, you don't have to go into debt before you even begin.
The actual price of a college education today could cost more than $200,000. Even if you don't qualify for financial need-based assistance, Career College Funding can help you and your family cut college costs and find efficient ways to pay for college.
Call 908-788-3799 for a free consultation or visit us online at premiercollegefundingllc.com. Getting a college degree doesn't have to break the bank.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on the site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Radio News with Russ Jones.
The Zika virus is spreading in Florida.
We just announced this morning, on top of the four cases we announced on Friday, we have 10 more cases.
In a news conference today, Governor Rick Scott said the risk of local transmission is believed to be occurring only in a 1 square mile area of north downtown Miami. The state confirmed its first four non-travel related cases of the virus last week. New York City Mayor de Blasio